Please turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Our subject is very simple. How to obtain eternal life? How to obtain everlasting life? This is not an optional question, it is essential. But before we come to explain how sinners can receive everlasting life, we must answer a question about who is Christ. Because Christ is the giver, Christ is the way to everlasting life. So without Christ, we will never be able to speak about everlasting life. And in our text in John chapter 3, just to give you a short and very quick background, we have the testimony of the man Jesus called, the Lord Jesus Christ said, among men born of a woman, John the Baptist is the greatest. So in few verses, from verse 31 to verse 36, you have so many great truths. The verses, the section is wrapped, packed with great spiritual truths. So who is Christ? We have the testimony of John the Baptist, and he's given such a testimony just few weeks and maybe few days before he will be arrested and beheaded. So he's given six verses, but also six reasons to know who is Christ. But by knowing Christ, we are able then to draw the conclusion to say, oh, Christ is the only one by whom we can obtain everlasting life. And by looking at the six reasons, they will give us a way, an understanding to seek and find the Lord, or to have new nature, to have new character, to have new heart, but also to have a purpose in this life, to receive abundant life, but also to receive everlasting life. We come to Christ as we are. Oh, please do not try to change yourself, because it will not be possible. You may try many antidotes. You may try all excitements and so all pleasures in this world, but they will never fill and fulfill the need. That emptiness deep in the heart, nothing can fill it except everlasting, that abundant life only Christ can give to sinners. Oh, no matter what other people think about you, what matters is what the living God. Many people live in this world. What do you live for? I live for myself. I live for my job. I live for my future. I live for my project. But what about God? This life is not well. What there is? Oh, there is a life after death. We may not think we... I don't want to make anyone afraid or scared or thrilled of whatever, but there is life after death. And we must stand, all of us, before the divine judge. It doesn't matter what you know. Knowledge will never save you. But what matters, who do you know? You may know the queen, you may know the president, you may know great people in this world, but that doesn't save. You must only know one person. That person is a matter of life and death, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important to know in this life, but also in the life to come. Oh, it doesn't matter how you are, but where you are. That's the first question asked ever by God himself in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where art thou? You can put your name there. And we are speaking about not your position now, where you are now, or where are you sitting now, or where can you be now, but we are speaking about your relation, your fellowship with the living God. Where are you in that relation? So looking at our verses here, here are the six reasons. I will do my best not to say much about each one of them. But there are six verses, 31 to 36. And each verse gives us one identity, one qualification, one attribute about who is the Lord Jesus Christ and why he is the only one to give us everlasting life. And the first one is mentioned in verse 31. Oh, simply put, he that cometh from above is above all. So who is Jesus Christ? He is above all. He is above all. And we remember Adam, the first man, was formed of the dust of the ground. That's where we come from. Ever since Adam, every man, every woman is earthly. Every man, every woman goes back to the dust, because from the dust we are taken, from the dust we are also going back. There is no other way. There is no neutral gear. Also, Adam, the first man, was taken from the dust. But that's our origin. That's actually our house. That's also our tent. As we are all nomads, no matter where you live, we are all nomads. We are just passing by. Oh, we may think we have a nice house. We may think we have a nice palace and so. But we are just tents before God. And this is why this tent one day will be dismantled. And we have to face the reality before the living God. But Jesus, in opposition or by contrast with Adam, Jesus is called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Our Lord is called the last Adam. And the last Adam is not earthly, but he is of the spirit. So you can see the difference. You can see the contrast. You can see there is a world of difference. And when you go back to John 3, verse 6, that's explained to us. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So, Adam, you and me, we are of the flesh, and we will always remain flesh. But Christ is above all. He is from the Spirit. He came from above. And in verse 13 of the same chapter, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Oh, who is Christ? The one who gives everlasting life. He is from above. And if you notice carefully, there is so much we can spend the night in just that in that verse. But the word heaven or above is mentioned four times, just in that verse, verse 31. He that cometh from above, first, is above all. Second, he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven, the third one, is above all, the fourth one. So, who is Christ? He is from above. So he is uniquely qualified to give everlasting life to sinners. Uniquely. Actually, all about the Lord Jesus Christ is unique, is amazing, is extraordinary, is wonderful. His conception. There are at least 550 prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament. Just imagine, five would be enough, but when you have 550, and there are still some to happen, but just imagine, they are all, most of them happen exactly. I'm missing the right word in English to put it, but everything which was said about the Lord Jesus Christ happened exactly as it was prophesied. No other man can fit in the puzzle, if we can call it that way. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. His conception is unique. His teaching is unique. His miracles are unique. His parables are unique. His temptation is unique. The way he was tempted, his life was unique. Even the way he died on the cross is unique. The way he was buried, a tomb guarded by Roman soldiers, protected by guards from the temple. And then on the third day, the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And then 40 days being with his disciple, he ascended. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is unique. Who is Christ? He is above all. So which means if he is above all and he comes from heaven, he is the only one entitled to tell us how heaven looks like. He knows heaven from first knowledge, from first sight, from first understanding. He doesn't need somebody to explain to him how heaven looks like because that's his abode. Heaven is his home. And if the text says that he that cometh from above is above all, it means Christ is above England, Christ is above United Kingdom, Christ is above the world, Christ is far beyond angels, he is above institutions, he is above your culture and my culture. Actually, we have only one culture as Christians, but Christ is above all cultures. He is above nations. He is the president of presidents. He is the emperor of emperors. He is the king of kings. He is the lord of lords. Who is Christ? He is above all. He has first knowledge about heaven. He can speak to us about heaven. Oh, marvel not. Friends, if you are here for the first time, please do not marvel that man walked on the moon. Do not marvel that man is discovering new planets and so on. This is nothing. Who created the planets? Who created the moon? Who created the sun? You should marvel. Actually, if we were really fearers of God, we should marvel that God, who created the planets, one day stooped down. He put his step. He came down. And this is why the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That should marvel you. The great God became like you. He came in this earth. He lived 33 years. And believe me, if you are 33 years, you know this is where, in French we say, this is where you want to bite life with all your teeth. But this is the time he gave his life. And on the cross of Calvary, he gave his life, not because he did anything wrong, not because he's a sinner like you and, oh, that's the difference. Even though he became a man like you and me, he's without sin. Oh, yes, he's different. He's the God-man. Maybe I said too much on that first one, but there is more to come because we must remember that Christ gave his life and he is above all. So marvel that God came into our flesh and on this earth. The second in verse 32. And what he has seen and heard, that he testified, and no man received his testimony. The second aspect which is said about the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the truth. He is a truthful witness. What do you expect from a witness? But Christ, when you look at Christ, he is the absolute truth. We live in a world where, what is the truth? You are right, I'm right, nobody is wrong. There is relativism, but there is truth. There is one truth. And Jesus could say in John 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So there is somebody who can claim that he is the truth. Do you want to know the truth? Oh, you come to Christ, you repent from your sins, you look at Calvary, what he has done on behalf of sinners at the cross of Calvary. He died in an agony, in an indescribable agony, not because he deserved it, but we deserve it. We sinners must be on that cross because we have mountains and mountains and mountains of sin. Nothing. Oh, no bullock, no camels, no chickens, no lambs, no sheep. Nothing could forgive us. No blood except the pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could redeem sinners from their sins. So Jesus is the truth. He is too truthful. Truth and truthful are his name. This is important to remind ourselves. What do you expect from a true witness? Oh, a true witness must have information from first hand. It's not just from mouth to ear. I heard. No, he must have seen what he is explaining. He must have heard what is happening. And he's also ready to give his life. He's ready to die for what he has seen and heard. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ have done. Oh, a true witness must be faithful. He must be ready to testify. He must be reliable. And his testimony must be relevant. Not just telling fairy tale, but telling facts. Not fiction, but telling facts. And the only truthful witness who was in heaven, he knows what is happening in heaven, what is going to happen in heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father. He can tell us about heaven. He can speak to us in a gentle manner. He has that compassion. He has that love. And he came to explain to us how God looks like and how heaven looks like. And it's interesting because when you read the Bible, you know how the devil is called? Satan is called the father of all lies. What a difference. How is Christ called? The truthful, the truth, the God that cannot lie. That's his name. And when you read the scriptures, most of the great statements of Jesus Christ, he started them by saying, verily, verily, truly, truly, certainly, certainly. So he doesn't just speak for the sake of honey's words or sweetie words just to please us or to titillate us in order to excite us to listen to him. No, he's telling us the words of life. The words of life, because he gives that life. And he said, when we ask ourselves what is the truth, he said, everyone that is of the truth hears his voice. He testifies about God, about heaven. He testifies and gives witness about the condition of your heart. You know, dear friends, we are worse than we think. If we have to give a note to ourselves, we will always give the good one. But believe me, we are worse than we think. Sin is deep, deep down in our hearts. You may see a person, nice, well-dressed, smart, religious, and so on, but we are capable of any sin you can think about. And Jesus came to tell us about our condition, the condition of our heart, the condition of our soul, the condition of our mind, the condition of our will. We cannot escape. What is the truth? The truth is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he can tell us about heaven. You know, others can tell us about heaven from what they read or what they heard. Muhammad has never been to heaven. He cannot tell me how heaven looks like. But Jesus, he was in heaven, and he is now in heaven. He can explain the wondrous aspects. He knows every corner of heaven, if we can picture heaven as a place. He knows, and he speaks to us. Others gives us a map. You know, oh, you want to go to heaven? Here is a map. Go right there. Do this. Don't do that. And maybe, perhaps, we don't know, you will be in heaven one day. But between somebody who gives me a map for direction and another person who takes me to the place, which one is better? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ have done. Not just giving us a map. Actually, if you are looking at a map, he gave us a map. What is the map? The Bible, the Word of God. 66 books are the map. You want to know the way to heaven? Read the Word of God. Where is the Word of God from? It is from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he takes you to heaven, not just telling you, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, but he takes you, he knows the way, he came from there, and he will take you with himself. He said, I want where I will be, everyone who believes in me should be there also. He's not selfish. He wants believers to be where he is. Oh, I must hurry on. The third one, which is spoken in verse 33. And here it says, he that has received his testimony has said to his seal that God is true. I'm very poor in mathematics, to be honest with you. But there is an equation here. And this equation is so simple. The text says to believe in God is to believe in Christ. And to believe in Christ is to believe in God. What is the equation? Who is Jesus then? He is God. To believe in Jesus is to believe in God. To believe in God is to believe in Jesus. Jesus is God. So there is no, I shouldn't spend too much time here because it's so clear. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happens? God comes and put his stamp in your heart, in your mind. So you know now, that is the certification, that is the stamp, the guarantee that now God is in you through his spirit and you can have fellowship with the living God. You can have answer to your prayers. Isn't that amazing? It's wonderful to know that when I pray, I'm not just praying in the vacuum. I'm praying to the living God. Because he put that stamp within everyone who believes in him. So you come to him and believe in him. He puts that stamp in your heart. And it gives a stamp of certification of his truth within you. Everyone who believes in him, he puts that authenticity in his heart. So who is Christ? Oh, he is above all. Second, he is the truthful witness. He is the truth. The third one, he is God. To believe in him is to believe in God. The fourth one, which is very clearly spelled in verse 34. He that received the Spirit, you know, Jesus Christ in verse 34, it says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. There are two things happening here in verse 34. Not only that Jesus has received the Holy Spirit unlimited. He was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. He ministered by the power of the Holy Spirit. He taught by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every aspect of the life of Jesus Christ was covered and empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he has received the Holy Spirit without measure, but also he gives the Holy Spirit without measure. This is why I said there is the recto verso, two faces of the same truth. He is unrestricted, unlimited. So who is Christ? Oh, he received and he has and gives the Holy Spirit without measure. Who is the Holy Spirit? God. God himself. Oh, if I can put it this way, that God gives to God, God himself. That's the meaning. And this is where I'm amazed, because whom did God give us to save us, to give us everlasting life? Jesus. Who is Jesus? We just said he's God. He doesn't give us his leftovers. This is what we do with people. But he gave us himself. What a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fifth one, I have to carry on. Verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hand. If you want to do a study later for yourself here, all the three persons of the Trinity are found in this text. The Father is there, the Son is there, the Holy Spirit is there. So we believe in one God. Maybe there is a Muslim listening to us, or maybe there is one here. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God. But this God reveals himself according to the scripture, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God, not three gods. So here in verse 35, the Father loved the Son and has given all things into his hand. Who is Christ? He has all power. The little I know in English, all means all. The text says he has given all things into his hand. I can compare this verse with John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But here in John 3 verse 35, God so loved whom? his son, that he handed over to him all things. And we remember Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power, not just some power, not a part of the power, but all power is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can trust him. And finally, the sixth one in verse 36. I hope we can have the last 5 minutes just explaining, how now can I have that everlasting life? He is above all. He is the truthful witness. He is God. He has received the Holy Spirit without measure and gives it without measure. He has all power, all authority. And the sixth one in verse 36, what does he give? What does the Lord Jesus Christ give to sinners, to men and women? Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. What does he give? Happiness? Luxury? No, he gives everlasting life. That's the question we ask in the beginning. How can I obtain everlasting life? And here we have the explanation. What is everlasting life? Everlasting, the word everlasting or eternal, who is eternal? Only God. So the best way to understand eternal or everlasting life is the life of God himself. Not a human life, not a mere life, but he gives us the life of God. God gives us again, God himself, the life of God. Jesus spoke like no other man, and he has the words of eternal life. His sacrifice on the cross is all sufficient to forgive all sins for all time. No religion, no good works can help. He came to give us something we didn't have. So the question is, how can I be saved? How can I have my sins forgiven? How can I obtain that everlasting life? And verse 36 gives the answer. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. Believe is the verb, but faith is the noun. Now faith, it's the fault of the English language. Faith is forsaking all in trusting him. That's the acronym about believing. Believing, you forsake your life. And remember, John the Baptist, who is giving this testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's the meaning of faith. Don't believe in yourself. Don't believe in atheism, because it's also a religion. They brainwash you with that there is no God. And the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, no God. That's the meaning. But there is a God, and you will stand before him one day to be judged. So eternal life, everlasting, can be given to sinners because we must trust in God. God is holy and cannot just forgive us against his justice and his holiness. Now, here is the answer. How can I obtain everlasting life? The first thing, it is personal. He that believeth, one by one. I wish I can do it for you. If you have never sought the Lord tonight, I wish I can do it for you. If my tears can do it for you, if my head, my hand, my feet, all my body can do it for you, I'm willing to do it. But I cannot. Only God. He that believeth. The text doesn't say they that believeth, but he. It must be individual. It must be personal, not collective. Salvation is by grace, not by race. I cannot inherit it. In Islam, you are a Muslim from birth. The fact of being born in an oven doesn't make of anyone a biscuit. So it's important. It's important to know that the fact of being born in a so-called Christian country doesn't make of anyone a Christian. It is personal. It is individual. The second thing, it is given. I cannot pay for it. I cannot buy it. I do not deserve it. I cannot earn it. It is a gift. He that believeth has, he receives eternal life. And the third thing, we receive it now. It's in the present tense. He that believeth on the Son has now. It's a present for now, but it runs to everlasting life, until the perpetual life when we will meet God. And in closing, what is the condition? There is only one condition. The text says, he who believeth. Believe, you must believe in order to obtain everlasting life. It doesn't mean to try. Believe is not to try, it is to trust. Believe is not to do, but it is done. It is done by whom? By Christ, by dying on the cross of Calvary. He went to that cross, his blood was shed, he was mocked, and he was doing that in order for everyone, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall obtain that everlasting life. So receive and believe in his work on Calvary. Believe means to put your whole heart and your whole life into it. I will not say to you, I will not deceive you at all. I will tell you the truth. I will not tell you tonight, come to Christ and you will be happy. I will not tell you tonight, come to Christ and tomorrow you will have a job. That's a big lie. I will not tell you tonight, come to Christ and all your life will be happy, clappy, and so on. No, but I can tell you as an ordinary, simple preacher that you come tonight to Christ, you will obtain everlasting life. That's the promise he made for anyone. He who believeth in the Son shall receive everlasting life. I must feel my sinfulness, my shamefulness. I need forgiveness. You must not believe in yourself or someone else, but in the Son of God. You can cry unto him tonight. Cry unto him, please. If I can plead with you, if I can remonstrate with you, if I can beg you to cry unto God, because Christ only can give that everlasting life. So you can cry unto him, help me, Lord, be merciful upon me, a sinner. Christ is preeminent in his origin, in his person, in his power, but also in his giving. What does he give? Everlasting life. He gave himself and held nothing back. Through repentance, we are moved from being in Adam, earthly people, to being into Christ, spiritual people. So we are changed. Our nature is transformed. Our heart is transformed. We know God. Now when we pray to God, we see the answers of our prayers. Oh, we are that is the greatest transition which can happen to any sinner who comes to Christ tonight. Come to him. Give him your heart. Christ died on the cross. Come to Christ because he paid the price. Let's pray together. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, for free salvation in his name and because of his redeeming work on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we do not dare thinking that something or someone else could save us, but only the living God. We thank thee, Lord, for making salvation possible, and we cry unto you again for sinners, those among us tonight, or those who are listening at this present time who have never seek and find the Lord. We pray that, Lord, you will reveal yourself unto them, because only unless the Spirit moves the heart, nobody can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead with you, Lord. Call them again. Invite them. Plead with them, Lord, and speak to their heart. We ask you these mercies in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's close our service tonight by singing hymn number 204. Hymn number 204.